All right. Good evening. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm excited to be in church tonight. I'm excited just today. It's not often, but you know, I get to do Sunday school, and now I get to preach tonight, and it's an honor. It really is, and I don't take it lightly. And it's I'm always nervous when I'm up here behind here, no matter what I do or how I seem. With that, if you want to go to Acts 3, we'll read, then we'll pray. Acts 3. Acts 3, and then we will start, and we'll start right in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give to thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." All right, we're going to go right into prayer, and then we'll get into it. Father, we just thank you for this evening, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be up here, Lord, to preach your word. I pray you just take control of my mouth, my thoughts, my actions, Lord. I pray you let our pastors know that we miss them, Lord, and we're with them and we're praying for them, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you can work mightily through us tonight and come meet with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we have here Peter, and it's the guy's outside, and he's been there forever. And what I want to, what this message is expectations, the setup for disappointment. I want to talk about expectations. And here we have this guy, and he's expecting something. We see that. Now, he asked for alms. And people, you know, alms is just, it's material stuff. It's money, clothes, food. That's what it is. And he's asking for alms. And he's expecting to get something. That's what it says. Right? They looked on him, and they expected to get him. Now, if these were any other two people today, he would have been very disappointed. And he was expecting to get alms too. He wasn't expecting to get healed. That's what he was expecting. He asked for a certain thing, and he was expecting to get that, whether it had been food or clothes or whatever. Now, he'd been here forever, and his expectation, I mean, what do you think his expectation was of even being there? I mean, he had to probably be pretty disappointed. I mean, if he's out here now doing this and he's seeing, right, Peter and John, that means he was around when Jesus was around. But somehow, he didn't meet Jesus. He didn't get healed. And I bet you, if any of us were around at that time, we'd probably be pretty disappointed, right? If you were back during that time, you probably would have expected to meet Jesus, see Jesus, or something, right? Maybe even witness a miracle. But the problem is we get too caught up in expectations. What happens is when we approach life, we usually have our self-made expectations. It's nothing else but what we expect. And with that, we often inadvertently set ourselves up for disappointments. We do. We get disappointed, and we start complaining and have a bad heart and get bad. And that's because our expectations are anchored in flawed things. They're anchored in human nature, a broken world, our timing instead of God's timing. Our knowledge instead of knowledge, God's knowledge, and from the Bible. So we take that, we get all disappointed, but we get so high on our expectations of what we expect to happen, of what we expect to get out of it. Right? And we can relate to that. Everybody has expectations. I mean, you know, Andrew has an expectation. He comes in, he plays music, he's going to have some people sing. He's probably going to be pretty disappointed if nobody's singing. Right? I mean, that's just how it works. There's always an expectation. Parents expect their kids to behave, to act a certain way, and to do well as they grow up. Right? It keeps going on and on. Pastors have the expectation that their congregation is going to listen, pay attention, go out and do what they're supposed to do, witness, and be a good testimony to Jesus Christ and to this church. But what happens is we rely on our own understanding, and then we just assume that the expectation that these people are going to do exactly what we want, and the outcome's going to come out exactly how we desire it. That's what happens. That's how it happens. And we get, right? And then we get all frustrated and disappointed and all that. I didn't expect in February to fall on ice and then, you know, slowly and gradually have my shoulder get worse, my neck get worse and all that. Well, and, you know, it's kind of bummed that it happened, you know. The other day, I'm cleaning, and I was not expecting that the kids would have one of those hugs that half full that was sitting there, and it was spilled over. And I fell and then hurt my lower back. My expectation was not that. That could have been complete disappointment for me, but what I keep telling people is, hey, you know, praise the Lord, I fell on my left side, so, you know, he saved me from re-injuring my shoulder, re-injuring my neck, you know. It's not fun, but it's the way it is. We all have these expectations. We want to. And what happens is the disappointment is the pain we feel from our expectations not coming from our own reality and not the reality of what truly is.
Right.
And the thing is Scripture points us all the time to say, hey, we have to shift our expectations from horizontal to vertical.
Amen.
We're looking out here as a whole instead of looking up.
Right.
If I be lifted up, I shall draw all men unto me. That's what it's about. It's about looking up to Jesus. That should be our expectation in life and not these other expectations we have. With that, my first point is misplaced expectations, human strength or wealth. In the verse that popped in my head mostly was Matthew 6, verse 19 and 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay yourselves treasures in heaven. See, our expectation sometimes is, well, I need to make a good living. I need to be wealthy. I need to be well off. I need to be better off. And sometimes that's not the case. You can have all the money in the world, and you can go away sad like the one gentleman because he says, I do all these things, Lord. What am I missing? He says, sell everything and follow me. Now, people, the world takes that and thinks their expectation of God is, lost people, is, well, I got to sell everything. I can't have money. That's how they read that. I mean, let's be honest, but that's not what it is. Jesus pointed out something because he had an expectation that if he did all these things, he could keep his wealth. He could be who he wanted to be and still serve. Which defeats the whole purpose of being a new creature in Christ. It defeats who God made us to be. And we can't serve. We can't worship the way we're supposed to worship. When we expect riches and worldly materials and objects to fulfill us, that always ends in a disappointment. It always does. And we don't always see it, but it always does. Everybody wants a new car. Everybody, right? Everybody wants a new car, but then when that payment comes, you're like, I don't want the payment. Everybody wants a house, right? Everybody wants the big house that you see on TV and things like that. Or you go buy these huge houses with like 30, 40 acres, and you're like, yeah, I want that. Thing is, as soon as you got that, you'd be awfully disappointed in how much you have to pay for that. You know, especially with property taxes. But that's it. We look towards these physical things to fill a void that only Christ can fill. And when we take that and we're looking at this and our expectation is that, then it's inevitable we're going to be disappointed. Why? Because material things, wealth, objects, they're all temporary. They're all temporary. None of them are going to last. And I know we like to think that they should, and they do, you know, but they don't. You know, if that was the case, then, you know, wouldn't have to shampoo the carpets all the time, wouldn't have to, you know, right? I mean, Andrew wouldn't have to say, hey, you know, we need some new hymnals, or we need to do this or that, because everything would be fine. But it's not. Why isn't it? Just because we're putting our trust in that instead of where it goes. If you turn over to Proverbs, Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 7. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of an unjust man perish. I mean, here it is. This is people putting their expectations in worldly things. This is what it's happening, and we're always thinking about it. You have you just have a world that's consumed with everything, and right now, what they're really consumed with is the man that sits in the White House. They're consumed with people who have common sense and say, hey, there's only two genders. They're consumed with people, right, that say, hey, I still believe in God. He's real, he's true, he loves you, he wants to save you. They're consumed with these things. And all it's going to do is their expectation, they have no hope. They're going to die in their sins with no hope. But their expectation is that they're going to get their way. That somehow that it's going to go. And you know what? I wish I could say that they won't get their way. But unfortunately, the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says it's going to get pretty bad, which means they're going to get their way. And it's going to decline, and it's going to decline. But that's what it is. They're putting their faith, their trust, they're expecting the world to step up and do things. And look, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I expect people to be kind, I expect people to treat people the way I want to be treated, or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you put that as your main goal, as what is the most important to you, you're going to fail. That expectation's going to leave you empty. Because the only thing that can help you do that is Christ. Without him, we can do nothing. If you turn over to Psalm 62. Psalm 62. in verse 9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than valiant. Where am I? Is this? I'm sorry, 62. Yeah, 62:9. I think I might have the wrong reference. But again, if you even use this, because you can still use this, men of low degree and vanity, they're putting their things in right? Vanity is emptiness. So what are they saying? Anything you're putting your trust in that's not of God is vanity. They have no balance, which we find a lot of nowadays. Nobody has balance. It's sad to say that most Christians are either Pharisees or Sadducees. It's the way it goes. Nobody wants to have the balance, the rightness between what God would have them to do and what they should do. It's all about what they want to do, not who or what, which is Jesus. And there we have the problem. Trust is only supposed to be put in God. It's only supposed to be put in Jesus Christ. But again, we like to put it in our strength and our own willpower. And you do. You see people do that. I see people, you know, I just know people in addictions coming from that background where I can go to a lost world and I can see some people who have used their willpower and stopped. Guess what? They're still empty because their expectation was, if this is hurting me, it's hurting everybody else I love. They came to that realization, that conclusion. But when they did it, it didn't fill them. And their expectation was, if I do this, I will be happier. And you can't get happiness out of that. You cannot. You can't. Now, if you let God guide your life, you can get great joy out of it. And that's what we want. That's what we want to aim for. But it is something else when we look and we see and we put our expectations the same way the world does. When we know better. It's not like we're ignorant. We choose to stay ignorant. We have the Bible, we do this, and then we want more. We want whatever it may be. There's always guys that want something. I was talking to one pastor, and he had a gentleman come to him and ask why he didn't preach on Trump. And he says, "'Cause I don't." The guy left the church. His expectation was that what I want is what I should get, everything else. And there's no need for that. Why was that needed to be preached? It didn't. Why? Because he thought that he could prove to other people maybe that he was right about something, or that he could say, "Hey, look," right? I mean, that's the biggest problem I have, is people think Trump is the next savior. That's not how it's supposed to be. Has he given us a little bit more freedom and liberty? Yes, but it's you don't treat him like that. And it's sad to see born-again believing Christians go, "Yeah, he's the best thing that's ever happened to this country." Well, that's not true. Best thing that ever happened to this country was our forefathers founding it. That was the best thing that happened because they had God in it. And they had him in the right way. The second thing I want to look into is the pain of broken expectations. Because that's what happens. When we our expectations fall short, we get mad, we get upset, And if we do, we have pain from it. And it's always going to be that way. Why? Because you don't expect it. Your expectation was based on something that you wanted or you thought, no matter how hard it is. No matter how hard it is. And the simple thing is, there's pain from that. Sometimes it's inadvertent. Sometimes it's because you did it. Not once did Patty and I, when we got married, figured that, you know, okay, we're ready to have kids. Okay, well, miscarriage. Okay, now we got one. Oh, miscarriage. Now we got one. Every child. Except for one that could have been viable, but died anyways. Our expectations were not, hey, well, you know, we may lose it. Don't worry about it. No, it wasn't. It was, the expectation was, everybody has kids. It's normal, right? I mean, we should be there. But there's pains that come. There's heavy emotional tolls that come with every decision, every expectation we have that we don't properly go through the right channels to do. That we don't take time to say, hey, Lord, what's your will in this? How should we go about this? Is my expectation too high or is it too low? But the answer is always going to be your expectation is too low once you bring God into it. If you include God in everything, your expectations, you'll find out, are pretty low. And they should be way higher. But the expectation never comes to fruition or realizing that it's a fake hope. That's going to leave you with nothing. That's truly what hurts and frustrates most people, because you have this idea in your head. You have how this is going to go. Brother James, he didn't know. Brother Knowles was going to go be an evangelist, you know. I mean, that was an expectation he had. You know, and no matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter how long you're at a church. If you're a born-again believer, right, how do you know them? How do you know the people? Because of the love of the brethren. So no matter how long you're at a church, no matter who leaves, it's going to hurt. Whether you're best friends with them or not. That's just part of what God's put in us. We don't like to see people leave. We don't like to see people have disagreements and go or just... you know, just leave because God wants them to. We don't want to see that. We want everybody to stay together. I mean, I would hope so. But wealth, rich people, addicts, control, worrying, fear, it's all something that's going to bring pain, because it's based on your expectation of something, that it's supposed to work out this way. And sadly, that's what we have. We have these broken expectations because we think that, well, if I just read, God's got to show me something. I'm in trouble now. If I just get down and pray, He'll get me out of it. But it never happens that way. Occasionally it does. You know, God brings it and He says, hey, look, we'll take care of it. But it's not. And that's what He wants you to realize. Everything else has no hope. It's going to bring you pain. It's going to bring your pain. Let's see, Proverbs. Proverbs 13. In verse 12, Proverbs 13:12, and the Bible says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." If you have no hope, you have nothing, and your expectations should be, "I have the greatest hope of anyone. I have the greatest hope." If you turn over to Job. Job 6. Job 6 and verse 15, and it says, "My brethren have dealt deceitfully as a brook, and as the stream of brooks they pass away." And if you jump down to verse 20, it says, "They were confounded because they had hoped. They came thither and were ashamed." And this is another thing. That's the pain of broken expectations, especially when you're in church. You meet people. You become friends with them. You become family with them. And Job's a perfect example of, well, what happens when your friends turn on you? What happens when your friends insist you're wrong for standing with God? Christians even do it. "Hey, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be." Brings you pain. You start to lose hope. Because you put expectations in broken people. And that's meant for Christians too. We're still broken. We're still broken. And, hey, you guys might get out early. I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to time anyway. Sorry. Bad habit. But my last point I want to look at. What's the antidote? What do we have to do to anchor our expectations safely in God? What's the answer? Because it seems no matter what we do, at some point we're going to have an expectation that's just going to be too big for us. Yeah. That we're going to get too caught up in. The only way to break the cycle, and it seems like right? Because there's a cycle of disappointment every time. And the only way to break it, it's a simple answer. It's just hard to do. We don't do it. We don't apply it. And that's to shift our whole expectations from the world to entirely on God. That's the only way we can do it. Your expectations have to be built daily on who God is, on who God says you are, on what He wants you to do daily. And that's the biggest thing. I don't think we put our expectations, right? I said, if you put your expectations on God, we usually set them too low. And it should be higher. And a perfect example is that, right? We should be having that expectation every morning that if we get up, we go to God, and we say, "Lord, just help me today. Help me concentrate on You. Bring me people to witness. Bring me, divine appointments like Judy and Pastor Legault do." I mean, shouldn't our bar be pretty high for that one? I mean, doing that, but yet we set it pretty low, and then we go out and we forget, or we get in a rush at a store, and it's kind of like, I don't want to say throw, but I mean, sometimes, you don't truly hand them the cashier the track, it drops or whatever, and out the door you go. But our expectation from that should be pretty high. If we're focusing on him, we have his promises, we have his word of who we are, of how he's going to come through. His word's not going to come back void. We're beloved by him. Safety is of the Lord. I mean, we go on. It's his protection. He'll bring you the people that you need to speak to. But see, our expectation for witnessing gets even out of control. Because we pray and we expect God to bring us these people, and then he brings us these people, and we go, not them. Well, I don't know that. Not with them. Well, why not? Well, because they look different, or they're just not acting in a way or a manner that we think they would want to hear the gospel. But that doesn't matter. He says, do it anyways. That expectation should be high with God. Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. It's from him. That's where my expectation comes from. I don't think I'm the greatest husband. I don't think I'm the greatest father. I mean, probably most people would feel the same way and things like that. But even though I feel that way, my expectation is always, I could do better, Lord, because I have you. And that's how we have to go in it. We have to go in it with a right heart and go, my expectation should be I can do better. And I can't do better because of me. I could do better because of you. You make me better despite myself. And that's what we have to aim for. That's what we have to put our trust in, put our faith in. Because most people are. Some people's expectation is, okay, I got saved, that's it. I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to pray. I don't have to go to church. I don't have to serve or anything. And I'm not trying to say that you have to serve to be saved and you have to do these things. But I mean, God's got something for you, whether you believe so or not. His expectation for you is pretty high as well. He says you're one of mine now, right? Proverbs 24 and verse 14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Gain of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. We have all these things in place, and he gives us the right things to concentrate on, the right things to think about. He gives us a church family so we could surround ourselves with the right people. I mean, I would hope you guys are. You know, if you guys are going out drinking on the weekend, there's a good program over there. I know the guy, he can get you in. There's no wait. But I hope you wouldn't be doing stuff like that. You know, it's surround yourself with us, right? It's a good thing. It's great to have fellowship. I wish I had it more often. You know, sometimes we get caught up in our own things because we're expecting that if we go and do this, then we'll be better off and have more time for fellowship or something. It's a big cycle. It's weird. Philippians. Okay. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether be by life or by death. You got to anchor that expectation to Christ. Your earnest expectation and hope that you won't be ashamed, that you'll have the boldness when it comes time. Right? For I am not ashamed of the gospel. Well, what do you need boldness for? The gospel. Especially now, it's not easy. It's not. But we're always putting our expectations on earthly desires, earthly goals. Right? I mean, people do it with their jobs. Well, if I go to work every day and I work hard, I expect eventually they will notice me and give me a raise. Wrong thing to put your trust in. Why? Because it has to do with a broken, fallen race. But now you work hard, you set yourself as God as your expectation, and you're working hard to please Him, to make sure He's getting honor and glory out of it. He'll probably take care of you. Right? There's two different expectations. One's on your ability and what you can do, and the other's on, I'm just going to do the best and let God take care of the rest. And those are the differences. And when you do that, your expectations can never be a disappointment. Can never go wrong. You know, but to be that guy in Acts, who was expecting, you know, he was expecting food or money or anything. And then Peter to turn around and just say, hey, stand up. Why? Because Peter had his eyes on God. His expectation was not on what he could provide, but what God could provide. And we never take enough time to thank God for what He provides. And He provides a lot. So the choice is simple. What are you going to choose? Are you going to choose hope in sinking sand? Of everything that has to do with this world? Of wealth, of your bank account, your job, the leaders? Or are you going to put it all on Christ? Are you going to put it on Him and say, hey, okay, Lord, I can't make anything happen, but I know You can. And my expectation is that even if You don't, I know You still love me and I still get to be in eternity for you, with You forever. We have to make that daily conscious decision to say, I'm going to look up. Anything here in front of me, I can't trust. Somebody's going to let me down. Family, friends, loved ones, it doesn't matter. If God is your ultimate expectation, what bad can happen? If He be for us, who can be against us? He's going to give you a lot of things, and He's going to make your expectation of Him get bigger and bigger instead of feeling empty because you just keep getting bigger expectations of what's here, of what you would want, of how it's supposed to work. But we have a lot of expectations. We have a lot of ideas, a lot of things of how we should do things, of how we don't. You know, everybody's got them, right? We get people that have expectations of how church should be run, how different ministries should be run, of what, right? Sometimes we get that in our head, and it's not a good expectation to have. Why? Because everybody's human. Everybody's not going to do it the same way. Your expectation shouldn't be of somebody running something the way you want it, but the expectation of how God wants them to run it, or how, you know, that's the bottom line, really. That's how it should be. And we're not always going to agree, and we're not. But God's still good. God still says, hey, surrender all those expectations of me because I'm still the God of salvation. You can still trade in all your fragile dreams and wants and desires. But I just want to leave you with this. I still want to leave you with Psalm there, Psalm 62. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Is my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectations is far, or is from your hope. It's from your hope. He gives you the hope. He gives you the expectations of how we should be, of what we should do, and how we should act. And each person is going to be different. God has different expectations of each person. Just like we have different expectations in different situations we go into, God has that expectation of us, of how we should act and what we should do. You personally, not just in a general sense. Because he's got certain people he wants you to meet. He's got certain situations he wants you to be in. And we're never going to fulfill his expectations if we're always relying on our own expectations. Right. And, I don't think anybody's lost in here, but that's, right, that's the biggest expectation God has of us, is to come to him and get saved. Come to him, realize that he is the Savior and that he has something better. God will always, right? We hear it all the time. God will always outdo you. He can always outbless you. So why don't we have more expectations on who we're supposed to be in Christ and on God than what's offered out in the world? It doesn't usually work that way, and it never works out. The only way we're going to be able to go through these trials and these tribulations is if our expectation is solely on God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the message, Lord. I thank you for working in my heart, Lord. I pray it be a blessing, Lord. I pray that each day we can just have our expectations based on what you would have for us, Lord. And I know we fall short all the time, but we thank you that you're a great God, Lord, and again, your expectations and your hope is greater than anything that we can ever face here, Lord. We do thank you, and we just pray, Lord, that you would come back soon and get us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.